I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, I'm Katie Brodnick.
I'm Maggie Brodnick.
And we love scams! We love you. This is a monumental day. My mother is our guest. And Mom, this is also the first time I am taking over as a single host.
I'm honored, honey.
We're so thrilled to have my mom, Maggie Brodnick, on here. We are in my parents'. And now, as you've heard with Brandon's episodes, sometimes they're like a little tinny, like you might hear some noises and stuff. There might be a cat or a baby or five cats and five babies.
Or a new puppy.
A new puppy.
Or a washing machine going on.
We're taking the show on the road.
We were in the basement, but on the road.
In a basement. A roady basement. And so because COVID has slightly lifted. Now we are in Maryland visiting my family. Lewis is living his best life. He is mourning going back to New York City.
Tomorrow.
He has told us, I do not want this existence without my grandparents. And I agree. So we're all going to cry. But before we come back, I had a chance to have my mom as my first guest as show host. Now, if you've heard our last episode, Sue is taking a break from the pod. We're not exactly sure when. We're calling her. She's going to come in a la carte. We're calling her the Sue du jour. You know, when she chooses to come in, she'll come in. And she has to work on
that.
Yes.
Right.
And she has to work on important
She's
things
welcome.
In her life. Whatever. Always.
Right.
But I am thrilled to welcome Maggie Brodnick. Get ready, guys.
A really depressing episode.
Oh, we're talking about disgusting stuff.
Cannibalism. Woo, woo. Where are you, Sue? We need you to make fun of this.
But leave it to like a perky lady and an aerobics teacher to get you about cannibalism.
No, it's about my love for the West.
For the West. Okay, so guys, my mom, her resume is enormous. She has been a teacher, a performer, an aerobics instructor, a graphic designer. She has run buildings. I mean, at anything, you're just like, I think I'm going to take this job now. And you're wonderful at it. That's what's so fun. And
I think it's
your like joy for trying new things. And then you want to be the best, and you are. It's fun. It was fun as a kid to grow up because I'd be like, who knows what's happening next in the best way. I mean, we felt very stable, but I didn't know where your career would turn.
I didn't.
No.
But as long as you felt
you're
stable,
you're going through many crises. But I felt cool. I was like, my mom does it all. So one of the things about my mom, and we can always, of course, hand it over to you to talk about. You love the West, and I feel like in your heart and soul, you've always wanted to venture out West,
yes.
And you have many times.
Yes.
But that sort of long journey that the early pioneers took is so near and dear to your heart.
Well, and we've probably driven out West, cross country, yes. 5 or 6 times.
Uh-huh.
And every time I'm in my air-conditioned SUV going yes. 80 miles an hour, yes. I'm like, wait a minute. People did this.
I know.
In covered wagons.
How did they do it with their
periods? Yes. Oh, my God.
I didn't think about
that. Same.
All I can think
about. Cramps, no Motrin.
Oh, my God.
No ibuprofen.
And, like, how many lodged
and then have a baby or have sex?
Oh,
or
no.
Your horse dies?
Or gonorrhea? I feel like there were lots of STDs and no one even knew. They were just like, she's a funny one. It's because she had 5 STDs.
They never knew. She was getting it on with the cowhand.
Yeah, she's real chirpy.
Her husband was driving the wagon. She was getting it on with the
cowhand. She was busy. Her period never stopped her.
No, but truly,
all I think about our periods. Truly.
Like, that's the most inconvenient, crazy thing that as a woman,
most
besides
insane.
Maybe having a baby.
A baby, but regularly and, once a
yeah,
month.
I know.
It was also not like, you know, yes, having a baby happens to, I think then they pressured people and like had way more, but mm-hmm. at the time, it wasn't guaranteed that you have a baby, but it was guaranteed if you're nourished, at least you'd have your period.
Exactly.
And so that. I don't even think there was that much documentation on it. I think people were just like, we're not talking about it. It was hell on earth.
Thinking about a new baby, a toddler in a Conestoga wagon.
But I think
what do you tie them on?
You did.
To the thing so they don't fall off?
I think you did. And I think also a lot of kids didn't make it. I think it was like a sad thing where you had to be really tough because then you were forced into that lifestyle. Because
right.
then they all of a sudden are in like a barren desert
yes.
saying, let's yeah. live. So why don't you take us through the topic we're covering today, Mom, and how cuckoo crazy it is.
So I have been obsessed
yeah.
with the Donner Party mm-hmm. and what they went through mm-hmm. back in 1846. And truly, part of it was because when you were probably 8,
uh-huh.
the first computer game
yes.
was the Oregon Trail.
And you played it in school. You played it everywhere.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, we bought it with the 5-inch floppy disks.
Yes.
I don't think Amazon exists.
No,
I don't
not
even
at
know
all.
Where we got it. Mm-mm. Like, in a packet at Target.
Or, like, Borders when it was a
Borders exactly
something.
And you had to insert the disk
yes.
and then and what I didn't know at that time was the what they considered Oregon back uh-huh. in 1880 whatever the date was actually California.
Oh.
And so it was actually going fully west, like
okay.
not up to Oregon, Washington.
More across.
It was straight across.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And I remember in the game, and
yes.
I had to coach you kids through it because
oh, yeah.
we were, you know, we didn't.
We were learning computers.
Did we have mouses then? Or was it just like tabbed?
We did a lot of tab and entering, and then a mouse was like high profile and fancy. Because
yeah,
I'm sure I just would throw that mouse around.
I don't think
kids are allowed to touch
existed
the mouse.
Then. I think it was a lot of yeah. tabbing and keyboard stuff.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you left Springfield,
it was a lot of enter
Missouri,
inside.
And then a wagon wheel broke.
Everyone died of dysentery.
Yeah,
everyone was
there was
dying.
Always a dead kid or something.
And I also always named everyone after my family. So it's like, oh, Mackenzie slipped again. And I was like, no! Like, it was very sad as a child.
Yeah.
So then you learn to, like, name them after people you hate or
right.
after people you don't care about. So you're like, I hope Jenna falls off a cliff. It's okay. She's not listening.
I hate Kyle.
Yeah.
I hope he dies of dysentery.
He was such a... I can't even think of the word. I was like an anti-feminist back then. Like, I didn't even know what the word was. Just not appreciative.
Well, and the another funny thing about that whole
yeah.
game was your dad, Al,
yeah.
would play it, you know, standing behind us and we were doing it. And he considers me a huge wimp. Even
yeah.
though I don't think of myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he would be like, Mag, from Maryland? I think you'd make it to Pittsburgh.
No, you would just be like,
and we would either throw you off the wagon, yeah, or you'd jump off and hitchhike
and
back.
That's not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear like, you'd never make it, my true love.
And he's like, oh no, honey, I know you think you're hard.
What it would be is I would just be very much complaining. I'd be the loudest one on the ship, but I'd still make it across. Oh, we'd have to talk about everything.
I think actually they would have thrown me off the wagon, or I would have died first, and then the cannibalism.
I would have got back on that wagon.
They would have eaten me. Tons of drugs. I'm skinny, so maybe there wouldn't be a lot of fat to eat, but they would have.
We'd use your bones to make noises to scare out the bears. That's terrible. Okay, let's get back to the Donners, the real terrible people. Right. So the Oregon Trail was about the Donner Party?
The Donner Party.
Oh, that's so dark.
It was kind of based on that. Well, kind of
the whole moving
idea.
But and when was that happening?
It happened in the spring of 1846.
Okay.
And there were kind of rich people living in Missouri and Illinois.
So all the way already kind of Midwest.
Already Midwest. They were not on the East Coast.
Far.
Yes. And they were, you know, you couldn't be poor and buy the wagons and then have like they called them teamsters.
Oh.
And they were people that drove your horses. And these were sort of not quite industrial rich.
Yes.
Because in Chicago.
More like merchants?
Yes. And they knew they could get free land.
Oh, and so it was a business move.
It was. Okay. Let's go. But they weren't, they were kind of softies. Like they weren't used to driving wagons in these kind of conditions.
Yeah.
They weren't used to marauding Native Americans, killing them and shooting at them.
Right.
And so
it was almost like those yuppie good old boys who assume that they can do it all. They're like, I could fight that guy. I could fight that guy.
I think probably.
Yeah.
Although the Donners, the two brothers, were like good men.
Oh.
Like they were kind of gentle, rich guys.
Hungry.
Who were like, this is later
hungry, they'll be quite hungry
later
men.
Dead. But in the beginning, they were sort of like, I think we can do this and this opportunity awaits us. And this was when like manifest destiny.
That was the
MO.
Like, everything was happening.
The U.S. could do anything they wanted. And at the time, Oregon, which was California, was Mexican. It wasn't part of the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, we can go out there and make it ours because we've done this, you know, ticking west all through the country, which is horrible and obnoxious.
Right. But that's where they had their self-esteem from and their confidence that they've already ruined so many other people's lives.
Exactly.
We can just hop on over to
Oklahoma,
California,
Trail of
Oregon.
Tears. They've already
done
horrible stuff.
Okay. And because then I should know this, but they have been settled then. The U.S. has already been settled and taken over for a while.
For a while.
So, guys, we're going to break you down into the very beginning and take you through, but there's all different layers to this, not only cannibalism, but also scams inside. So how did it start, and when did this family decide to go?
Okay. So in the spring, April 16th, 1846, there was a group of people, the Donners, which were two brothers, and they were kind of old.
Oh.
The oldest brother, George, was 60.
Oh, that's very old for then.
Yes.
Like 30 was your peak.
Right, exactly. Well, maybe like mid-40s. But he was 60, and his brother, Jacob, was 56.
They're older.
They were the, quote, Donners.
Okay.
Right? And some of the historical writings call it the Donner / Reed Party, R-E-E-D.
Okay.
And the James Reed was from Ireland, also rich, also lived, I think, in Springfield or Independence, Missouri. Can't remember.
Okay.
And he was 45.
Hmm.
So he was kind of the younger one of the three of them. And they
most pioneers were like 20s. I feel like they really were super young.
I was surprised too. Yeah. And George Donner had five daughters.
Wow.
And Jacob had seven kids, boys and girls.
Wow.
I know. So these were big families, coming out.
Yeah.
Right. So in April, the Donners and the Reeds, and James Reed only had four kids, but his mother-in-law, his wife's mom, came with them.
So that
too.
Means like three more children, because she has a lot to say. She's going through menopause.
She died like a week in.
Oh, yeah.
Like it wasn't even,
and
she didn't even
hit
the cannibal.
Reed made sure of it. He was like, if she's coming with us, we're going to poison her canteen.
No, she died of tuberculosis.
Yeah, thanks for reading,
Reed. Like, oh, get out of the wagon.
Thank God.
Which is terrible.
Make space. But I think that was the energy then. It was like, we're all going to die. How fast?
Exactly.
You know?
But I sort of feel like she dodged a bullet there.
I think she did.
Died, but she wasn't part
and
of all
that. And
she
wasn't eaten at this point.
Exactly.
So she was buried. Okay.
Exactly.
That's exciting.
So
she's a winner.
They all take
the mother-in-law gets the last laugh.
So they all take off.
Okay.
And there are a lot of wagons before them. Right?
Oh, okay.
But they're sort of a group. In and of themselves,
so many
right?
other settlers were on a journey.
Already on the
okay,
road,
though.
Right? So there was a route that everyone was taking.
Okay.
And then the Donners and James Reed heard about this different route.
Okay.
By a guy named Lansford Hastings. Now, okay. Does that sound like a creepy...
A scandal.
Scammy.
Like creepy guy.
Creepy guy. So he
never name your kid Lansford
Hastings.
Hastings.
And he had a sort of drew a map called the Hastings Cutoff.
Okay.
And it was going to be a shortcut, and it was a little more southern versus the standard
straight
one
across
anyone
that
took.
Had been used for years.
Yes.
Tried and true.
30 years,
okay.
Right? The Hastings Cutoff was going to save you time and energy. All right. So the worst part about it is that it actually added 150 to 300 more miles, and he had never done it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
heard about it, and then when the Donner Reed party took off, he was doing it on horseback without a Conestoga wagon. Now, if you guys have ever seen these wagons...
No, I haven't in
remember
person.
Remember the wagon wheel we had
yes.
in our porch, right?
Yeah.
So... In a friend who had an antique store, mm-hmm. Had this huge wagon wheel, and your dad mm-hmm. surprised me with mm-hmm. it as like a anniversary
yeah.
gift, and it was like the original steel.
Oh my
gosh. Like this was not like a tire.
Yeah,
it was like a wheel.
I didn't realize it was an original wagon wheel. We're just
wheel.
Like, dum-da-dum, it's like in our house. We're like running into it.
It was actually a Conestoga
that's amazing.
Wagon wheel, right?
Wow.
It's we
I did not
it
appreciate
the,
it one
go
bit.
Go look at it.
I will.
After this podcast, you'll be like, holy
it's
shit.
It's like taking a king-size bed on wheels.
On a wheel. And this, and there, I think there were 8 to 10 of these wheels.
Whoa.
On one wagon.
Wow.
Right. So the Hastings Cutoff, air quotes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, took these wagons into territory that never could handle wagons.
Right, you're saying he did it with his horseback, so it would really be, and horse are so nimble, so
yes,
you would like... tip something you would tiptoe as a person, yeah, if you're imagining, like if you're hiking with a very agile friend who's also a rock climber, you could do it. Not take your king size wagon
with
across.
Your family in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
With your wife with her period.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, number one, with her period. Are
and
you
no
kidding
heating,
me?
Heating pad.
No, no.
Come on.
No Advil. She must just like bash herself in the face when she gets her period
with
her to frying
fall.
Pan. Yeah. To fall asleep.
Right, right.
And just works through it.
And so this guy. And on horseback, if the horses scramble, you get off them.
Yes.
Like, I ride horses.
Yeah.
I've been on trails where we go, nope, I can't be on the back of this horse. We're scrambling up a steep terrain. You get off.
You let them do it.
You almost let go of the reins. Let them do it. They wait for you. You climb up. Well, imagine a team of like 8 horses strapped together going up and down these mountains. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So did he get that map idea from surveying it briefly? And then when the Donners came up, he's like, ooh, I'm selling it to you. Were they his first customers?
No, he heard about it from other people that have done it. he made a pamphlet. And in 1846, ew, making a pamphlet.
Yeah, like that's now, a ton of work with the press and the thing and the.
Yeah, he made a pamphlet and he sold it.
That's a huge investment.
And so you would spend $5, which was a huge amount of money then, on the pamphlet, and you followed the map.
Yeah.
So what happened was this group, the Donner Reed Party came out and immediately like hooked up with a 50-wagon train in the beginning.
Okay.
Right? And then there was the Hastings cutoff. Uh-huh. And so most of the wagon train said, no, that's crazy. We are going to follow the normal one.
Yes.
And generally it took 4 to 6 months to get from, say, Independence, Missouri, uh-huh, to San Francisco, right?
Okay.
4 to 6, depending on, like, you know, the weather, whatever. And you left in the spring and you were there by September.
Okay. Right?
So this group goes out about, I think I read that it was like July or August.
Okay.
They split off thinking they were going to save time.
Right.
And there was actually a journalist who was on with Hastings.
Wow.
And who came back, left what he was doing, and left a note in one of the towns on the way to the wagon train and said, don't do it.
Wait, so there's a journalist following the shitty guy, the evil Hastings.
Yes.
And he's, oh, I love journalists.
And he leaves that pack and says, you guys are on horseback. You
this
need
is
to
horrible.
Tell these wagon people they're not going to be able to make it. And he came back and left a note for when they came they never got it.
Ah!
Right. And Hastings happened to be at a fort at that time. And actually, in his defense, which is he's reprehensible, but he did think to himself, I'm going to send a message and say, wait for me back to the wagons that were
let me
pulling
guide
off.
You.
Let's just talk about this. But when they got there, he was 8 days to come back. Well, think of that. There's maybe 20 wagons. They're all eating. They're all drinking. They all have oxen. They have horses. They're like 8 days.
It's like very expensive.
Yeah. We can't sit here in this fort for
also,
8 days.
Also, if there's risk of like fighting with Native Americans and if there's risk of like disease or animals, like you don't want to be sitting ducks.
And they just wanted to get there already. Now, they had already been on since April. This was June, July. So they're nearing the 4 month thing. So
just like COVID. we've been through the same thing, guys.
They were
let
waiting.
Me tell you. Can we relate?
So they don't wait for him. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what they're getting into. They go.
Okay.
So they've already been through terrible hardships, but 4 months.
A dead mother-in-law.
The dead mother-in-law. People have died on the way just because you have 50 wagons, which is families and helpers and whatever. And so they take the Hastings cutoff and immediately are like, this is a huge mistake.
And they didn't turn back?
No.
That's so...
I think probably when you've gone that far, I mean, they had to... They went into a mountain range that was called the Wasatch Mountains, which are part of the Rockies, and spent 3 weeks cutting down timber to get their wagon train through.
Oh my gosh. So it wasn't even rocky, dusty terrain. It is not even a path. They made their own path.
Yes. But even before the path was a desert.
Right.
And a lot of people died because they had no water before the desert. I mean...
So do you think... And then going back through the desert, you would just know you'd all die again.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no guarantee you'll die going forward, but there is a guarantee you'll probably die if you go back through
the
desert.
Okay. Exactly.
And it does make sense.
The Native Americans were picking them off and stealing their cattle and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they...
As they should. Honestly, good for you guys. Right. Get it.
These jerks.
I know.
So, but there were some crazy things like, so it was called the Donner Reed right? Yeah. James Reed. He's the kind of fiery Irishman whose mother-in-law kicks the bucket.
Yeah, thank God.
And then you have the Donner brothers.
Okay.
And in their Hastings cutoff group, once they realized it wasn't a great idea, all the families liked the Donners better as their leader.
Okay.
Because they knew they were in trouble, right? They were like, this isn't good.
The Donners were honest about it.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of gentle folk.
Okay.
You know, and the dad was George, the older guy, and they voted George to be their guy.
Okay.
Right? Which kind of probably pissed off James Reed because he thought he knew it all, right?
Okay.
So at one point, the Donners separated from the Reeds and some of the other wagons. They were just making better time, and there was probably a problem.
Sure.
So there was a road rage incident.
What?
Yes.
What?
And James Reed got entangled with another wagon, and there was a fight, and
what?
One Snyder, Mr. Snyder,
who's a new character,
was hitting James Reed and his wife with a crop because they were hitting his horses and a whole thing. And a thing ensued, and James Reed jumped off his wagon and stabbed Mr. Snyder in the neck and killed him.
Oh my God.
That group.
He should be the leader, guys. He's terrifying.
He's terrifying. He would have eaten everyone the first day. Maybe not.
Okay.
So the group. Now they're a day back from the gentle Donner party.
Yeah.
Banishes him.
You gotta.
And says, screw you. You're out.
Yeah.
And you have to leave, and your wife and four children have to stay with us.
So who are they with? The Schmidts or whoever?
Well, the Snyders. Were dead at the time.
Who are they with?
Just the other wagons.
Okay.
There were probably 10 other wagons.
Okay.
And so the mother and kids stayed with the group.
Good for them.
And Reed got banished. And what did he do? He like hightailed it with one of his Teamster guys, and he joined the Donners.
Oh.
And sort of came in and said, oh, those guys are jerks. This happened because
they don't let me stab people how I like.
Well, no, and there was a guy who was back with the Snyders who saw it all and is like, we should hang Reed.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
He stabbed somebody for hitting them with
horses.
A crop.
Yeah.
Right. And they all thought that guy was kind of being too intense. And so they let Reed go. And then he joined the Donners.
His wife was probably thrilled. If he's a guy who stabbed someone, he probably like was rough with her, not nice to his kids. I'm sure she was like, thank you. Like, go right off into the sunset, you murdering Irishman.
Well, the guy who wanted to kill Reed, hang Reed, his name was Kesselberg.
All right.
So he was
Jewish?
German.
Okay.
No, he was German with Snyder.
Okay.
I think Snyder could have been his buddy.
Okay.
So there was a problem. Anyway, so they finally
we'll say he's Jewish for our podcast.
Probably.
I'd like that.
The German Jew.
Yeah.
So they make it through the desert. They cut down 3 weeks of
that's crazy
in the Wasatch.
Manual cutting down of trees.
Cutting down trees to get these wagons through. And it's October.
Oof.
And again, in defense of Hastings, who I hate because he's the scammer.
Right.
Did say you have to get out early. Do not plan it where you could be caught in the winter. But they're all thinking winter is November.
Right.
Not early October.
Which is different in the mountains.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they basically the Donner Reed party got off out of Independence, Missouri 3 weeks late.
3 weeks is a ton.
It
if they
is.
Can't even wait eight
but it,
days.
It was April.
Yeah.
See, and you're thinking winter? Eh.
Yeah.
It's not even summer
also,
yet.
Also, you don't even know that climate because you don't live there.
Exactly.
Like, it's not, they have GPS or anything. You have no concept.
Missouri. It's like flat with a hill.
Right.
This is the Rocky Mountains of Utah.
And you need a lot of chutzpah to get there. So they're probably just like, no, I believe in myself.
And
I'm
they're
fine.
Rich. And they kind of feel like we can do this, having no experience with Native
Americans.
Like
rich people.
Right.
Yeah.
And so October, they get into the Sierra Nevadas and a terrible blizzard hits. It just stopped them in their tracks. And that's really where it all ended.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
October, you said?
It was October.
Wow.
And the storm hit, and then they couldn't get out. The cattle died. The horses died.
Yeah.
And the cannibalism thing was honestly, and this broke my heart.
Yeah.
A lot of it was that people died from starvation.
Yeah.
And disease.
Right.
And working.
Their periods.
Like, well, they had to go out and cut down trees.
Right.
And were sweating. To bring
and freezing.
And they made like lean-to cabins, and then someone got a cold. And then
it
was bad. And the cannibalism, if you know, there's so many different characters and stories, is that the people were dead already.
Okay.
And the parents fed it to their children so they could live. And most of the people that live. So I think 87 went out.
Of the Donner Reed, or is this
the whole group? Wagon train?
Okay.
And 48 lived.
Wow, I was thinking like 5 lived.
No,
I don't know what
more?
I was thinking. That is more than I thought.
Well, here's the other thing that happened. Okay, so when they got stuck in October, a few of the Teamster young men, because there were a lot of like wagon helpers, and they were young people. They said, we're going to go get help.
That's great. That's brilliant. Right. Yeah.
So a bunch of them died on the way, but they made it to California. And so the original wagon train that they cut off of, they all were there.
Right.
They did the
correct way, the tried and true.
So everyone was in California going, oh my God, those people we were on the wagon train, we have to send help. So three different parties came to where they were, and there were like two camps, and took people with them.
That's amazing.
But some
but it would be individual, like on a horseback, like a single person.
Yes, and so there was a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, the parents said, she won't make it.
Take her.
She, no, we have to keep her here. You gave us food. So they brought food, but then another storm hit. They did not, they were trapped in October, November. The first help, now they left in spring 1846. The first group that came in to help them was February 1847. The first group.
Wow.
And then three different groups came and they decided what children could make it back because they hadn't gone over the mountains yet.
Yeah.
This was
what child was strong enough to get over
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And the youngest kid that survived was 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, whatever. And they actually wrote books when they were adults back in the 1900s, early 1900s. Yeah. Remembering what they could. And the guy who, Kennisberg, who wanted the Jew,
fake Jew.
The German Jew, who thought
he should be hung.
That Reed should have been hung, he was demonized when he got back. And people in the group said that, this is so terrible, he preferred eating the corpses than the cattle that defrosted after the snow melted. In other words, a lot of their cattle died.
Yeah.
And it was completely untrue.
Right.
And he actually went to court and sued. And the judge said, you're a jerk. I'll give you $1. And then you have to pay your own court fees for this.
Wow.
Yes.
So he was slanderized.
Yes.
And probably by the rich Donner family and offspring.
Yes. And Snyder's family, not Snyder, but Reed's family, another character, everyone said was great. And this poor guy who made it through and his whole family died.
He was the only living one.
Uh-huh. And he was, you know, died penniless.
Mm.
I know. Like the reading the
it was
after,
so cruel then.
It was
It's cruel now. The world, people are cruel. So, but this is so tough.
Okay. So we know the scam is the Hastings cutoff, right? But the other scam, as we spoke about early, is the Native Americans and the indigenous people whose land existed that
they were just going through.
They were going to go and take it, right?
Yeah.
And the wagon train who made it safely took it.
Yeah.
So one of the San Francisco people that wanted to go back and help hired 2 Native Americans to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they died and they were cannibalized.
Yeah.
So the 2 men
who were just helpers,
who were indigenous, though, they were the helpers. They died trying to save the Americans.
Jesus, yeah.
I know. It was so, that was the gist of the article that I read.
Right.
It was like, wow, I always thought that whole Hastings thing was the hugest scam ever. But reading this article, I'm like, no, the scam was what we did. And this is a story.
And repeatedly, right.
Repeatedly. But, you know,
and just treating people like they're of no value.
Exactly.
And that was the thing too.
We understand it was the time. It's what you did. And I still look at those families and go sort of half, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
But also the courage and the strength.
It's also just like the mindset. Like I think of that, the willpower behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think of the audacity, right? Like, how dare you think that your life is worth more than someone else's? Mm-hmm. But also, where do you get off just going like, well, this is it. It's worth it. I mean, just like the ferociousness of right. like on one of our last episodes, we talked about like imposter syndrome. It's just like zero. They're like, I am God. Let's go. Well,
it's like a politician.
Yeah. And those people then became politicians.
Yeah, they should. But there is a wonderful book called The Best Land Under Heaven, which is the story of the Donner Party. And it's, you know, what's kind of funny is that whenever you say the Donner Party,
yeah.
you think of cannibalism
right away.
And it was not a lot, actually, yeah. of cannibalism.
It sounds insane, but if my kids are dying, there's nothing to eat, but there's a defrosted thing, I guess.
A dead person? Yeah. They're not going to know what
no
it
one
is?
Cares.
I mean, they talked about some of the families wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
They were just like, we will die. And a lot of people who died were men because women have a little bit more body fat normally. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing the hard, hard labor that the men were doing.
Well, and they were doing indoor labor.
Yeah.
Like labor.
Right. Exactly. And they were saying that when some of the people came to save them, then they got caught and that they were feeding the children the rawhide of the jackets that the men...
I would eat that.
Yeah, they had to.
I would eat that, rawhide.
It was just...
It's like jerky.
Exactly. And then it was like leather, but yeah. it was what they had to eat.
See, that for that to me, it's also just survival at that point.
Exactly.
And I do feel like in these places, because we know how little rights women had at that time.
Exactly.
Whether you're like a crazy flaming racist or not, like we don't know each family and each mother differently, but looking at it from that perspective, like a lot of times women were just sort of married off, thrown into these things.
Exactly.
You're a good woman if you make a lot of kids, you bite your lip, you're in pain, they get knocked around by men all the time.
Right,
and so then
right.
to like, you don't want to judge those mothers.
Right.
You want
right.
to be like, yeah, whatever it takes.
Well, and some of
I'll lick a tree. I don't know. Whatever you have to do.
The numbers of like the death and the... Right.
Yeah.
Two of them were babies born on...
Oh, God.
No, but who
they lived?
The babies lived.
I was like, they're not making it.
No, they lived. They lived. So you're just like...
The human... The female body is going to... Yeah.
And you... I know. Yeah. It was incredible. There was a crazy quote. There was one guy who actually kept a journal. I mean, and they had and there were a lot of Irish groups
yeah.
that came through, and there was a man named Patrick Breen, and he kept a diary, and on the 28th page, so I mean he probably didn't write in the diary when they were going across
right.
but then they were all sitting in a cabin, and he wrote in February 1847.
Okay.
The next year he writes, Mrs. Murphy said here yesterday that thought she would commence on Milt and eat him. I don't that she has done so yet, but it is distressing.
Hell yeah!
That's what he wrote in his diary.
She's going to
sure
eat
he,
that
like,
guy.
Locked the door. Like,
yeah.
Oh God, Mrs. Murphy's going to get me next.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. They probably don't trust each other. Like,
yeah.
Talk about survivor.
And that was, I mean, that was just sort of where they were
yeah.
in that situation.
And in the world they were born into mm-hmm. and what they did. And I wonder, so the kids did talk at all about how the kids who came through, the people that came through, were they blasted at all as being cannibals and
no,
shamed?
No. It was
were they looked at as victims or heroes?
Well, I'm not sure how the general public mm-hmm. thought about them, but most of them that survived never spoke of it again, except for the one that wrote a book in the 1900s, not
yeah.
the one I was telling you about, The Best Land Under Heaven, which is a great book about what happened. But most of the people never wanted to speak of it, never, you
it
know.
It was complete hell, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just like hell.
I mean, but 48 people is enough people that, you know, I was
you think
reading,
somebody would talk about it.
Well, and I was reading, like, and it's like, oh, George and Sarah, you know, they lived in Petaluma, and they were in Salt Lake City, and I'm
and
just
like,
okay.
Had a taste for beef? Like, what are you, like, what is it?
They
the rest of your life.
They just never spoke
about
it.
Were they super religious groups?
It didn't sound like it. Yeah. I mean, I think James Reed, of all of them, sounded like he was pretty religious as an Irishman.
God told him to kill. he's doing what he said. No,
some of them were just, I mean, it just didn't seem...
Unfortunate looking folk, too, if you look at some of their pictures.
Oh, Margaret doesn't look happy.
Quite the schnoz. But you know what? She got rid of her awful-ass husband.
No, but there were stories of where, you know, someone became ill on it way before they were stuck in the blizzard. And they just, at that point, they had done the Wasatch Mountains. They had done the desert. And they're like, we can't help you.
Do they just drop them off?
Kind of.
Wow.
Or another family in the 50s. Like, there was a lot where people went and lived with other people.
Was there anything about, like, the native groups that they came across and the towns and the villages? Because I want to know about those people.
No.
I want my kid. If I was there, I would have also given my kid to another family. Like, if we're all dying, if I'm like, next week I'm probably going to eat somebody's hamstring, I will give my kid to the next family I see.
It does. No, I think by the time they were all snowed in, there were sort of two camps where they built their cabins and they just hunkered down, you know, sort of imagine COVID with no food and 18 feet of snow outside your cabin. I mean, they just lived day to day and got more and more
crazy, you know, mental illness. And I mean, my God.
Sick. Yeah. They said, I think that was one of the quotes I read about why those children didn't go out. They just thought, they did not have the energy and they were going to wait because, as I said, the first rescue group was February. So they were going to wait and hope that people brought help because three rescue groups came. And I think the last one, the kids were 3, 4, 6, 8, and 16.
Wow. That any adults or just kids left?
They were all dead.
Wow.
That was the... So members rescued by the third relief.
Took care of everyone. Wow. Yeah.
And then before that, there were a few older ones, but look at the ages.
2 1-year-olds.
One.
So that means that they were born
on the
way.
Yeah. God. So, you know, I mean, I think at that point, everyone was so skeletal that they just thought they'll never make it through because it wasn't wagons at that point. Yeah. It was
just individuals. So would they just wrap people in like coats and
hold on to them and take walk them out?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And rescuers died.
Oh yeah.
I mean the two Native Americans died.
Yeah.
And you know, they were eaten, but and there's sort of discord about whether they were killed and eaten, or they died and were eaten.
I can only imagine it's insane. Are there things though that people look at it and don't they sort of? I saw something that said like the Donner Pass or something. Like,
oh,
isn't it like a popular thing?
There's the Donner Lake.
Yes,
and I'm like, I don't know that this I would book
a good
an
story, guys. Yeah,
you can look out where
the ghosts
died.
Of everyone's deaths.
I know
skeletal bodies.
No, they renamed it Donner Lake. It used to be called like you know.
Was it because
Joe's Lake?
Ugh,
God. I know. Sorry. And I'm like, I'm not going.
I'll never ever. Go there.
And there is a monument. Like, there is a huge monument to it.
I just can't get over that many people survived.
Wow. I know.
I just want to hear every single woman's story.
I know.
I want to know how you did it. What happened? What did you deal with all the smells? Who did you hate? Who was?
Well, they said that the Kennisberg guy... Mm-hmm. You know, the poor guy who died.
German Jew.
Yeah, who got a dollar.
Yeah.
He was one of the few people, he was one of the last groups out.
Okay.
And everyone kind of turned on him for whatever reason. And as he was leaving, he saw a ribbon in the snow and he dug down and it was his daughter who had died.
Oh my God.
As one of the people rescued. she didn't make it on the rescue.
Oh,
and I'm like, God,
that is like, so sad.
This is terrible. Yeah. Like, and you demonized him and other people were, you know?
They really just jumped on, it was bad people. I mean, it's just, they jumped on scapegoats. They jumped on I am sure that guy, when he saw his daughter, was just a complete wreck.
Exactly.
And had no strength just at that point.
Hollow.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they jump on him.
I'm like, Hastings.
Hastings needs to die.
Should have supported that man the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone.
I know.
And did the two Donner guys make it? The dad, Donners?
No, they both died.
Okay. They died. No. I don't know why. No, I'm like, they put everyone through this and they made the choice to go that way.
But they believed Hastings. That's what was so bad.
But none of the other trail people did. The people were like, no, I'm not going to believe this wacko.
I know.
I don't know. There's something about that.
I think both. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So some Donner kids live, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure the Donner brothers died.
Okay.
Yeah. It was.
It is nasty.
Terrible. It was a
really nasty.
It was the worst. It was a scam that beyond all scams on two levels.
And then to tell us it was the Oregon Trail, like some happy little dinky story.
That was the first scam.
Yeah.
I'm like, the
Let your children trail. Experience this horror of humankind.
They need to rewrite it like, oh, you broke a wagon wheel. Oh, you ate your sister.
Yeah. The massacre.
So you have to buy a dead body so you can eat it. I'm like,
after it thaws, then you can cross the lake riding your dead grandson. Or I don't know. It's so insane.
I know. The Oregon Trail was a scam. That stupid first bit.
Oh, that's insane.
Computer program
that's so insane. And I was always sad during it. I was like, everyone's dying.
I know. I was always like,
oh, and then you had to cross that river.
Broken axle. Oh, shit.
I didn't even know what an axle was. I didn't even know some of the terms. I was like, well, I guess we broke it. I guess it's important. I never even bothered to find out. I'm like, I guess there's axles somewhere on the way.
The axle broke and Bubby went with it.
I couldn't. I named everyone after my people I loved. Terrible. Terrible decision. Oh, my God. Here's my question. If you were traveling out west.
Yes.
In a wagon wheel, mm-hmm. king-size bed with cramps
and all. You mean a Conestoga wagon.
Yeah, Conestoga wagon.
Okay.
And would, at that point, when you had the choice of the
Hastings
cutoff or to go straight, and you had to, like, what would you have done?
I full-on would have done the known trail.
Yeah.
I'm not a risk-taker. Mm-mm. But they were sold a bill of goods. I read here. It said it was shorter by 300 miles, and it turned out to be longer by 125. So that is a
huge scam.
That's an 2 hours if you're going 60 miles an hour in air-conditioned SUV.
But if you're going...
That's like 3 weeks in a wagon with horses. And just remember, too, they were bringing cattle. They had to feed
their horses.
They were bringing
their homes. And they were also like going to start their houses.
Everything.
Their whole life savings.
But the animals were huge. And as they got more and more literal and figuratively skeletal, they were eating the horses, but the horses pulled the wagons. And
then how do you get through?
They weren't. They weren't getting through. And then, you know, it was funny. They came through the desert,
mm-hmm.
or I can't remember if they did the Wasatch Mountain Range first. I think it was the desert, then the Wasatch Mountains. And then it was Shangri-La. It was green and lush. Yeah. And they were like, okay, it's September.
Right.
We'll be fine. We just have to get through the Sierra Nevada. No snow, nothing. I mean, it doesn't usually snow that early. They were a little late, but I mean,
I would have been like,
would you have done the cutoff?
I would have asked every single Native person. I would have asked.
Well, the Natives would have scalped you if you walked up there.
Just FYI. All right, fine.
You would have been like,
the room. Hey, I know I'm the evil white devil, but I wanted to know, would you go this way to kill people or that way to kill your natives?
The whole way out, this is one of the things about the Donners and Reed, is that they had no idea about the Native American population and what that group felt about, think of
the hundreds of years that
a 50
massacre
wagons,
yeah,
though, just not even that, Kate, this is their land,
yeah,
and they just see a train,
right,
like what we would see as a train, yeah, now coming through the middle of their sacred ground,
land. Yeah.
They're like, they had guns by then.
They're like, go away.
They stole horses. They
of
stole,
course.
They, every night,
I
they
would.
Said the, yeah.
I so, would, if I was a Native, I would just steal it all.
And they,
get the hell out.
They shouldn't have been that way.
Yeah.
Because that was the cutoff that Hastings did on his zippy little horse with his friend. And out they went. Not 50 wagons.
No.
They had no idea what the hell hit them. And then nature hit them.
But. That, to me, though, is such a symbol of extreme white privilege and ignorance.
Yes.
Because they came in rich. They came in from the merchant side, not necessarily blue-collar working. They weren't the laborers that they had hired.
It was expensive to
yes.
do this.
So they come in with their fancy ideas that they somehow deemed manifest destiny. They have the right to do whatever the hell they want.
Right, exactly.
And that they deserve literally to kill each other over a riding crop incident, and that this is what you get when you are completely ignorant, when you don't respect the land, when you don't respect the weather, when you don't respect
exactly.
other people at all.
And but you know, weather.
Right.
Now we're like, but, Weather Channel. Oh, by the minute it's
I
gonna
know.
Rain.
But the Native Americans, that they had the idea. Mm-hmm. They listened to like the animals, and I sound very dumb when I'm saying this, but I know that in traditional tribes and villages, it was a huge part of their community.
Mm-hmm.
And they really paid attention to if the horses started acting funny.
Exactly.
That was when it's time to come in. And I have a feeling
well,
that these
also,
people didn't.
They also were lived it.
Yeah.
They lived on
the
land.
Yeah.
Not brought their wagons over it.
Right.
So, yeah.
With their
it
tea.
Was exactly. So.
Wow. What a crazy.
I know.
Thank you, Mom.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You so
I've been
much.
Wanting to talk about this
I
for
know.
Probably 30 years.
Well, we got to shame them. We got to shame them. Fuck those people.
Well, and there are History Channel documentaries.
Yes.
There's WETA. Did
oh, someone
special.
Probably did incredible
I
reporting
think
on this.
Burns probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
or,
yeah.
You
Someone's
know,
written
there's
many
There's a postcard
books.
With the camera going by.
Yeah, yeah.
There has been so much written on it, but... I
but
think
common knowledge
this
isn't...
year was the first year or in 2020 where I read about where they were actually going and
mm-hmm.
what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the indigenous population going out was warning them like
yes.
this is not right. What you're doing isn't yours.
Right.
You know, and that just brought a whole different level of awareness.
Also a whole level to history. I feel like history hasn't really represented at all or
exactly.
clearly
it
anything.
Was cannibalism,
of it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And that
no.
it was you know, just a series of mistakes. We get that. But the whole reason it happened was wrong.
Right.
From the beginning.
Right. And
not
that
just
should
the
be what
scammer,
it is.
Not Hastings, but way before that. So
the concept of that
exactly.
whole thing and those settlers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
thank you for having
Thanks,
me.
Thanks
guys for listening. This was such a fun episode. Guys, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, what
I'm
a joy.
Honored to be on Scam.
I am so
and
thrilled.
Sue, we miss you.
We miss you, Sue, and I am excited to run this ship. And thank you guys so much. You can, if you like this, please rate and review. And I never remember to review things, but it means a lot to us if you rate and review. And we just
And if you write in and know any more facts?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Interesting things.
Tell us, message us. If you're like a Donner
us.
Head, let us know.
Yeah.
What is
love
up?
It. Exactly.
And thank you, Mom.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.